Oh, well. All right. Good morning, everybody. I will call to order the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018, and start with a big happy birthday to America. And let's honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, super light agenda today, but let's start how we always start, with an opportunity for members of the public to comment really on anything you want to comment on. Anybody wishing to do so, come right on up. And seeing no one moving the microphone, agency reports, but we don't have anybody from Ireland Ball here, so we will move on to consideration of minutes from June 26th.
I move as presented.
Second.
Motion to second. Olson.
Aye.
Chi.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions as listed, Board.
Move as presented.
Second.
Chi.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions passed. Consent agenda.
Move as presented.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Chi.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. No public hearing items. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of using the county credit card for the purchase of a domain name.
Good morning, Kyle.
Hi.
Kyle, tell us about it.
Well, for the StoryCountyIowa.gov domain, runs our email, runs our website. It's a yearly renewal.
Yeah, so I'd say two things. I'd say let's go ahead and talk about this if we need to. In the future, I'd encourage us just to stick this on consent agenda. I think this is, I understand our policy. I appreciate our policy. We need to sign off on it. This is kind of our first year going through it. But I think this fits on consent agenda in the future, Board, unless you guys disagree.
I think this just reflects that we stubbed our toe last year as regards to the credit card. And it's just a reflection. Appreciate the fact you're paying attention. And, yes, I would encourage this. The fact that we, you know, this is something that would generally fit in our consent agenda. We might need to see it as far as an action item.
I agree. So you move or
I would move consideration of using a county credit card for purchase of the domain name between .gov and information technology purchase from the 13th of July to the 12th of July 19th for $400 as presented.
I second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion?
Nothing.
Chi.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We approve using the credit card to purchase our domain. Thanks.
Board.
Yeah, ma'am. Next, departmental report, planning and development, quarterly report.
Right,
it's the Jerry Moore show today, man. You're in.
Which is not a problem.
Don't blame.
Alright, remember that first quarter we had some fall weather, snow, ice, and so the permit levels were down. But thank goodness, second quarter, we're happy to report things are up from the previous year, up 10 from the second quarter of last year, and then up at 11 from 2016. A third of those were dwellings, and then two thirds accessory structures, commercial improvement permits. Valuations are up also from the previous second quarter from last year and from 2 years ago. One of the big projects that we looked at was Landis Corporation, south of Colo, did their improvements, adding their grain elevators. It was like over $2 million project. Again, this is the overall. I like this map because it shows the activity that's occurring, which is good. Ames, Nevada area. We also have activity in South Story County near Huxley, Cambridge, and Maxwell. The yellow is the dwellings that were constructed. Green is other accessory structures usually. And then red is the commercial projects. Some of those are tower projects. Development activity, this is the overall. We include conditional use permits, site plans, activity in the Ames River Fringe area, subdivision, variances, rezonings. That number is up from the
second quarter from last year, which is good, and then almost triple from 2016. Other things to note, total number of cases, again, from the first quarter we had 19, this quarter 23, so that's a few extra. We also had four insignificant modifications, requests to make some changes to existing conditional use permits, and for the most part those were changes that were made to existing communication towers, adding new antennas and equipment. And under our ordinance, we're able to do that administratively. Property research, 2018, first quarter, 14. We had 15 this quarter. So total, 29. 39 last year, so we're going to likely bypass that number by the end of the year with 6 months to go. Conceptual review, 11, first quarter, 5, so we're down a few from the first quarter. But we have 16 currently, and we had 21 last year, so it's likely that we're going to bypass that as well. So some of these complaints we've kind of shepherded, talked to the board about it. The Rasmussen property east of the Milford Township School, now a single-family dwelling, had some junk there, disabled vehicles, and we ended up sending the property owner another notice of violation and found out that he is planning on selling the property. And when I did the site review on Friday, there was a garbage truck that was actually disposing of some of the materials there. And he had probably three or four like hay wagons with stuff, and there were people there looking at it. So I believe that that's going to happen, but we're going to follow up with him on that one. Carpenter on 650th, there was a mobile home and a garage that was placed there without a permit, and the property owner is going through the process of dismantling. We did the site review on Friday. It looks like most of it's gone, but it's not completely done, so we're going to keep.
So can you elaborate a little bit on this one? So you say that that the homeowner is actually dismantling the garage then?
Yeah. Okay. Garage and the mobile home.
Is that because if they apply for a permit now, it would qualify anyway, or?
Yeah, and actually there were no permits.
I understand that.
Under our standards, you need a permit for something that's 100 square feet or larger. And so I think he's trying to create something from the existing framework that's less than the 100 square feet so that he can have a space to put like a mower and some equipment to maintain that property. But they had no plans of building like a new dwelling or bringing on a modular at this time.
Okay.
So it's primarily just to maintain the property. But things are progressing on that one. We received a complaint on West Riverside. The property owner there brought in construction and demolition material and disposed it. And it also got the attention of the DNR. And so they haven't, it was our department that sent the notice of violation. We've had contact with the property owner. And he's aware that he's doing it. He's got another week to do it. But there was, various types of wood, metals, flat metal, tubular metal, plastics. And it was a situation where it was clear that a building had gotten removed, scooped up, and put in a dump truck, and they brought it here. And that's clearly not something that's permitted. So, again, he told me that he would get it cleaned up. So we're going to stay on top of that one. We also received a letter regarding about 10 property owners who are operating businesses. And we put together what we call a friendly letter asking the property owners to contact us so we can talk about whether or not they are operating a business. And at that time, we'll tell them about the county's home business permit and regulations, and then we usually like to do like a site review, and then we'll follow up with them and then hopefully have them make submittals to review, and hopefully there'll be situations where they can meet the home business requirements. But two of the things that a lot of home businesses are struggling with are the number of employees that report. Under our ordinance, they can have one employee, and we're finding situations where there's several more than one. And then they're not supposed to have any outside storage, and some of these businesses do have that. So,
so some of these businesses find success in their business model and their transition. We're willing, as a county, to work with them if they're willing to talk to us and share what their story is.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we, you know, it could be a situation where we just sent a notice of violation and didn't really take the time to, you know, figure out what their story is and what their situation is. But we tend to try to work with people. Again, if, and these are ones that we don't have permits for, so the goal would be to introduce them to our standards and try to see if they can operate and meet these standards. Otherwise, we have to, you know, figure out options, which might be relocation as far as the business goes to an area that's zoned for that use, either in a county or inside of a city. But our first mode is not to send out a notice of violation, but in the home business regulations, that's something that we can use. But we try to work with them first.
And is it unusual to get a note, to get one letter with 10 businesses on it? I'm wondering. I did not go to come down and ask you. Sorry about this. Were these certain types of businesses? As, did they fit into just a couple of different categories of?
They're all different.
Okay.
Businesses, some contracting, some tree service, different things. But yeah, it's not common at all to get a letter with that meaning, but
an anonymous letter,
right?
Unless just yeah.
Okay, and then my question: when you say when you work with them, but we don't yield our standards, we just what do we do as far as work with them on time to get the time?
Well, usually it's time. We can, you know, that's something that we can offer. We can give them time to try to get compliant. But with some of the uses by contracting, that's the hub. That's where their employees come to get their equipment, trucks, things that they need. And maybe if they could meet at the project site, if that's an option, that would be a better solution with regard to trying to meet our requirements.
Right. We have, but let's just be clear. We got an entire range of options, right? Once we're aware that somebody's operating outside the confines of what we allow, anything can happen from us working with them for alternative compliance to get it done, us demanding that they cease and desist in that location. But you can run all the way through to rezoning the property so that what's happening there is appropriate, if in fact it is appropriate, and basically everything in between we've got on the table in front of us when it comes to dealing with this.
Right. We currently have an application. It started with a home business permit, and it's grown, and so they're requesting a rezoning, and so that'll be before the Planning and Zoning Commission next week, and then before the Board of Supervisors ultimately for action.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, I suspect this little point will probably suck up a lot of time in your office going forward, trying to learn their every individual out of these 10 stories.
Pardon me?
I suspect that when you have a list of 10 businesses you weren't aware of, that will take a lot of time and resources out of your office in addition to all the other stuff that you're doing.
It does. It does. But I mean, if we can help educate them, because a lot of people really honestly don't know. And so that's part of what we have to do is to educate them about, you know, the permit process that we have and see if it's a match for what they're doing or what they want to do,
okay.
And then go from there. Any more on that?
None.
Crestview Mobile Home Park, the temporary hoop building you're aware of, the property owner has until the end of August. He's supposed to be down to 18, and then by the end of November 29, he is to be down to zero, and so we're going to monitor that. Margaret and I did a site review Friday. The Board of Health asked us to do a review, assess the situation, identify any violations. The property owner was there, videotaped our review of the property. He indicated that there hadn't been any changes since I was there last, and for the most part, there wasn't, again, any surprises. There was one area where there was a mobile home. It looked like there was some recycled materials at that lot, and he indicated that the property owner or the mobile home owner was planning to pick that stuff up. Still have the dirt pile in the southwest corner. The decks that were in the southeast corner were moved to the southwest corner for some reason. Property owner said that as units are moved, they can choose from a deck to use. They're stacking of blocks that are used for shoring up the units, so you got that going on. But we counted 38, I think I counted 37. There's two that are close together that the property owner said he's using as a fence or as a barrier for that northeast area. But again, we're to go out in another 30 days and do a review, and we'll put together a memo that the Board of Health requested to kind of sum up what we found. Hickory Grove Mobile Home Park requested variances. They increased the number of units from 32 to 38. They brought in new units that were larger than existing units, and then there was some accessory building sheds that didn't meet setbacks. Board of Adjustment reviewed and denied all three of those variance requests. And so we sent a letter to the property owner and asked them to come up with a compliance schedule. Yep. So we're waiting on that.
So we're wanting them to go from 38 back down to 32, which is what they were approved, but no set timeline on that, or is that something that they need to work with you on, or how are you handling
that's
that?
What we're asking them for, a compliance schedule, and then part of the task is to figure out if that's reasonable, and we'll work with the county attorney's office on that.
Gary, was there an option, or is there an option, to come back to the Board of Adjustment and make some of the and ask again based upon if they do expansion or if they run more plumbing or whatever? I'm trying to look for a way with the fact that mobile home housing is a price point that really does meet low income. I'm trying to look for a way, if there's any, to go ahead and allow them to keep those six mobile homes.
Well, and part of the issue with this location is it's illegal, but it's a non-conforming use. And so, you know, with our non-conforming provisions in our ordinance, they're not able to expand, enlarge, or extend the use. I can tell you that the applicant would have had 30 days to challenge the decision of the Board of Adjustment, and that did not happen. There was no challenge in district court.
Right, but I mean, let's just talk about authority here, right? Board of Adjustment would have the ability to grant a variance or a waiver to what was there, but ultimately, who's responsible for approving initially the site at 32 and going from there?
Well, I mean, we used the previous records
right.
that we had in communicating what the position should be, and again, the Board of Adjustment ruled that they should not have the 38.
So, but I think the point I'm trying to make is if the Board of Supervisors believed, which I don't, so let's just start right there. I think 32 is where that's supposed to be. But if the Board of Supervisors believed that that was a site that helped us with some of our housing, we have the authority to go in and change those kind of things.
Well, I think ultimately it might be like a rezoning request to get it to a residential manufactured home district and then work on.
Yeah, I'm just trying to answer Morris's question. If the concern is trying to have more housing available in a certain price point, I think the three of us have a very direct role in that. Now, this Hickory Grove is an issue into and of itself, and I would encourage us to
leave
that
alone. But I'd like to, as we look, since we don't have that many mobile home parks anyway, if there's ever an opportunity for us as the supervisors to take a look, whether it would be appropriate to go ahead and either rezone or something. I get nervous as I watch the fact that we've lost so many in the last few years.
Right, and with non-conforming uses, they are to have an end time. They're not supposed to continue, you know, forever. You know, they're not supposed to be extended, or enlarged. So whatever is there can stay as long as the owner wants to keep them there. But they're supposed to run their cycle, and then ultimately, you know, future uses are supposed to meet the current zoning unless it's rezoned.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Hey, I'm good.
Navy subdivision just north of Nevada. I believe that was approved 2014. We're issuing zoning permits for some of those lots. There's been some concerns with some of those property owners with regard to the status of the driveway. This was all approved under previous standards. It also involved the city of Nevada. There were some conditions. One of the conditions was that the south end of this drive was supposed to have a hammerhead for turnaround for fire equipment. The grade on that west end is pretty significant. And, you know, the condition of the drive is not the best. They were to install a street light at the intersection of the main north-south road and this drive. And then trees that were removed, they're supposed to replant. And so we're going to be meeting with the fire chief in Nevada and try to think through some options. Again, the plat was approved. The location for the drive, the location for this hammerhead turnaround was approved. So, you know, we're going to try to meet with him, try to come up with some options, and then involve the property owner on it.
Sure. So, 2 points on this one. One, I believe it was a couple different plats that were approved, right? You had the one kind of to the east that was approved first,
subdivision,
and then came in and approved the second subdivision, but using the same easement access.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the reason that I believe we need to be more careful when we think of utilizing easements for access to property rather than privately maintained, publicly dedicated routes, which is what we tend to do in more of a true subdivision kind of situation.
Yeah. So this one did, because of the easement, did one person or one of the developers not want to use the easement, or how did we get into the situation with them not doing it according to what was approved?
They did do it according to what was approved.
And that's part of the
problem
going forward.
We
don't allow the extension of these driveways any longer. So for newly created lots, you really have frontage or, you know, like a shared access, but the easement cannot be extended into the lot situation. So, anyway, we went out there to do a review, and there was some, you know, they were building one of the homes, and the driveway was blocked by the truck and the equipment that was there, and we ended up parking and having to walk. So anyway, we're going to try to figure out.
And let's just be clear, this is not the only one of these that we have in the county. We've got these in multiple locations. Over the last 40 years, we've got these in multiple locations, and we're not going to get to where we unwind what's already done.
Right.
We've got to figure it out. But what's important to note is we're not allowing things like this to happen anymore.
Right, because they wouldn't meet our requirements today.
Yeah, because this is past their theoretical, because it's their building out there.
Right.
And you have Jerry kind of undersells, and when you want to talk about it, it is quite a slope.
Oh.
It goes to a creek valley. Beautiful out there. I can see why people would want to build there, but boy, that will be, I would look forward to seeing what the engineering remedy is on this.
Right. Manoa Construction, they initially obtained conditional use permit. They were east of
I-35, south of 245. The dirt was used for the new relocated on-ramp to Highway 30 from I-35. They also used it for the pillars for the bridge. They asked for an extension, and they need some sand to use for their cranes when they start working on the horizontal members for the flyover bridge. And so they've got some things to work on with regard to that. Slopes, then our slope requirements for the borrow that they did, and plus they took out too much of the material, not meeting our setbacks. So they got an extension for 3 months. The Board of Adjustment increased the bond amount from $10,000 to $20,000 to make sure that we've got enough money to, in case the county gets involved, to hire somebody to do the restoration work at the end. Things that we're going to be working on the next quarter, Finco Tree Wood Service, again, this was a home business. They're requesting a rezoning. That will be before the Planning and Zoning Commission next week and before the board soon after. City of Ames changed Lincoln Highway to East Lincoln Way. And so we actually started some work on that, and then there was some discussion about 580 and 590, because those roads that are in the incorporated area now in Ames have been changed. And so there's discussion about whether or not the rest of those should be changed. And so we're waiting for engineering to weigh in on that before we bring that to
the board. They changed? What do you mean by changed?
Changed the name.
Well, they got already have signs out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the city council took action a couple of weeks ago to change Lincoln Highway to East Lincoln Way, and then the 580 and 590 as well. Pleasant Grove Church, we talked to you about that. They worked out a deal with a property owner to the south of the church for a parking lot, which will be good because it'll get the parking that's occurring within the right-of-way off that. And so that'll be hopefully before the Board of Adjustment. Planning and Zoning Commission in August and Board of Adjustment in August. Next, Era Energy, they're going to be doing some upgrades to their 100 of their wind turbines. They want to increase the diameter and the hub mechanism to boost their power. And so this is something they want to do in 2019. They want to do like 10 of these a week, and it's going to be like a 20-week process. They've assured us that they're going to work with the property owners first before we get involved in doing the notices and trying to communicate with the surrounding landowners. It's going to be a pretty significant notice that we're going to do.
But we just had major damage to county roads when they originally built those things. And I don't know, you know, when they talk about new blades and the new hub, I don't know if we're talking about all the weight that we had originally coming in there, but it's just something I would encourage that Darren Moon be brought in early and just talk through some of the issues we had before.
Right. We mentioned, that our engineering department will need to be involved. They're going to be using Highway 65, so DOT will be involved. But what they're going to do is use cranes, and they're going to dismantle the existing blade and the gear hub housing, take that down, and put up new blades and gear housing. So they're not going to like change out parts or anything, but there will be trucking of the blades and the housing apparatus. But they've got a staging area planned just north of the area on Highway 65 that they have for the electrical substation.
Right.
And then they talked about doing some staging of materials, like at a rest area. But, again, there's a lot of details that we need to, work through, and it will definitely involve the engineering department.
Okay.
But this is something that they're not going to do until 2019.
Okay.
We're working on a couple of ordinances. One involves access requirements. And we're also working on the cabin duration, the length of stay. We're going to be looking at the cabins and RVs. So those are two ordinances that are hopefully going to be before Planning and Zoning Commission in August and then to the Board of Supervisors. Since I started in 2015, we've seen slow growth, and we're kind of, the existing programs that we have, we're fighting really aren't adequate for what we need. With permitting and just keeping track of all the processes that we have, you know, complete submittal, site review, notices, publications, inter-office, interdepartmental communications. A lot of the things that we deal with have conditions, and so we have to keep track of all those things. Commercial improvements, did the site improvements get completed? So we're starting to reach out and try to find some information about software that might be helpful to us, for us. And we're involving ourselves in demonstrations. But it's likely that we will be before the board asking for some assistance with that as we go forward, as we grow, because we definitely need something to help with our daily work.
What can you give me an idea, a rough range, since you've seen two demonstrations so far? Are we talking in the $10,000 range or the $100,000 range?
When we first started thinking about this, we thought it would be something that would be great if we could share this with other departments, environmental health, engineering, conservation possibly. And so far, none of them have indicated that they're interested in it. That's not to say that maybe as we continue through this process that they might not have some interest later on. You can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, but that's not what we're thinking we need. There's a program that we looked at called GovModus, which is fine for permitting, but they're at a crossroads right now where they're trying to develop some software for more of the development application things that planning offices need. But they were talking between the $10,000 to $15,000 range. But again, right now they probably wouldn't fit all of our needs. So we would probably need something that, once they develop that, we definitely would be interested in that.
Yes.
And then you probably heard the RAV is out of commission right now. It's at Schaefer's Rise Shop being repaired in 2 weeks. We'll have it back on the road, which is a good thing. Work program, we set it up into tiers. Much of the things that is tier one has been worked on or nearing completion. Construction, demolition, landfill, though, I just wanted to let you know that we had two property owners that one was close to signing our lease agreement, and then after discussing it with the land manager, decided not to go with us. The other one, we were going down a path of him wanting additional money beyond what we were proposing, but he didn't counter. And again, we were working with the county attorney's office on this. So we've got to get creative, I think, on how we do this. You can only use certain properties. They have to be certain distances from natural areas, so many feet away from dwellings. There's certain criteria that you have to meet. And so we did we wanted to be close to paved county roads or state highways. And so when we did the mailing the first time, we only received the two who were interested. And so now we have none. Some of the jurisdictions that we've had communications with have had county-owned properties, and that might be an option that we should maybe look at, something that could be multi-use, multi-purpose that other departments can use. But this is, I think, a frustration. There's been a lot of work on this, and then we're kind of at a standstill now and probably...
And not only a lot of work on it, but it's a necessary component to any kind of recovery in the event of some kind of major disaster. I mean, that's what this all stems from, right? I don't want anybody to see this and think, oh, we're talking about bringing an operational landfill to Story County. We're not. We're talking about in the event of a disaster, having an area that we can take debris and construction materials and things like that while we stage it to be removed.
And every spring I worry that
absolutely,
we don't have anything solid, and you know, I mean, we're witnessing some of the issues with flooding right now.
So the reality is right now, if we have some kind of major event in Central Iowa, I mean, beyond the flooding events that we just had, but we have some kind of major event, and it gets to the point that Polk County and Boone County both stop taking materials at their landfills, we got nowhere to go.
Which we've been told by Boone County that they likely would not be able to take the material right away.
Correct.
How big a site were you looking for, I mean, on an acre basis?
20 to 40 would be good.
40, but you put together a whole map of different properties in Story County that fit kind of those basic needs that you outlined.
Right.
We sent a letter to all of them. Heard back from two, and now we've reached the point with these two where it doesn't appear we're going to come to agreement. So while it's frustrating, we got to keep working through this and see if we can identify a site or a couple sites.
There's a solution out there. We just got to figure it out. We're not giving up. Transportation impact analysis. Emily's the shepherd on that. We're working on that ordinance. We've had discussions with Darren and Tyler with the county attorney's office. We've routed it, sent it out to home builders, associations, developers, land owners, and I think we gave them a week to respond to it. And we would like to go to the Planning and Zoning Commission. It would be for adoption, but for discussion, again, based on input that we get. U.S. Census continues to progress. Emily's working on that. She's got one more city to review the points we're addressing on that, where there's dwellings. But we're supposed to be wrapping up mid to end of this month. So we'll continue to provide information on that. Land evaluation site assessment, again, that was on our work program. We're having the intern, Ryan, do some research on that. We also sent out some information to the administrators of the other counties to find out different criteria that they use so that we can kind of bounce or evaluate the information that they're using. I think there's some interest from some of the Planning and Zoning Commissioners to make this information more accessible, readily available, and more streamlined. We're trying to figure out what other jurisdictions are doing. And then Ryan is also working on with Amelia on trying to identify existing subdivisions with private roads, trying to figure out what the nuances are, whether those roads or drives are dedicated for public use, what the signage is. And he's like two-thirds of the way done. So, again, hopefully by August, we'll have some information that we can share with the Planning and Zoning Commission, and we'll bring it to the board.
Yeah, and just I want everybody to be really aware, just gathering the information is not going to get us anywhere close to solving the issue.
Right.
This is complex and problematic on a lot of different levels.
Getting the information is the first step.
That's right.
That's what I have.
Questions for Jerry?
Sure, you've been very thorough, Jerry. Your office is quite busy down there, and I'm glad to see you. I'm surprised. I thought you were pretty aggressive on your work program when you came to us this past spring, and you really are making progress.
Mm-hmm. We're moving forward.
It's a good office down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's got really good staff.
Yes, you do.
I just had one of the completers, number 6, and this is a jog my memory. It's auditing the regulations to see if we have the smart development practices in for limiting disaster impacts. And I'm trying to figure out, when did we see the results of that audit?
I think there's probably more discussions. It probably wasn't really hard data that we provided. We tried to reach out to other counties to find out how they're doing things. We reached out to cities, and I think there's a real concern with not being too overly restrictive when it comes to land ownership and limiting what property owners can and can't do with their property and setting restrictions on allowing certain materials or buildings to be placed within dwellings. There's a concern about a takings issue.
So who were those discussions with? Planning and zoning then? Or?
And I believe that I brought them here.
I'll go.
This was more staff level driven, taking a look at what we had. And what I took from this, and you just helped me, is there was nothing that bubbled from staff to Planning and Zoning Commission that brought any kind of requested amendments or anything to the Board of Supervisors. Yeah, I think Laura's 100% right.
Okay.
I think it's been mentioned before in some of your quarterly reports, but there's never been anything brought to us for consideration.
Correct.
Well, I'm glad to know that at least that part of my memory functioned. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Good.
No, I have no other questions.
Right. Thanks, Eric. Thank Good you. Job. This is public forum number 2, opportunities for members of the public to comment on anything you'd like to comment on. If you'd like to, come on up. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, liaison assignments, Morris.
I just want to bring forward two things that actually would have done last week if we hadn't been kind of pushing the clock here. The first one has to do with aging resources, and I believe I told you several weeks ago that the state had asked all of the aging resources and their peers in the regions to start spending down some federal funds. And Aging Resources had been kept a 25% fund balance for some of the programs they had related to nutrition. So a budget was put before us a couple of weeks ago, the Board of Aging Resources, and it had a plan for spend down, and it was to spend down to about 12%. They just did not feel, the staff did not feel that they could go any lower than that and still provide good payment pass through to the independent providers out there. However, how it was presented to us, it was in a summary form. We were not presented like with an official document like we get for the certification that we have to send to the state. And on this budget presentation, nowhere were the $85,000 carryover funds listed in the numbers. Instead, it was a footnote way at the bottom. And so I did ask, is it possible that since this was just a kind of a summary, but we were being asked to approve what was in front of us, if the $85,000 could be brought in, shown on a line for the carryover, because otherwise we were approving a $90,000 in the red budget. And that was uncomfortable for me. And it was not picked up by anyone else. And so, therefore, the budget was approved at a negative $90,000. And I just wanted to let you know I was the sole person who voted against it based upon the presentation and transparency was not really there. Okay. The other thing is, I wanted to let you know that had a excellent discussion with Evan Duvall from ISG and Ethan Anderson. We met a week ago Friday about the Dakota Access Pipeline monitoring when it related to ISG and the contract. I thought Evan had done a great job presenting to us at the board already about where the contract actually, where he had authority and where he did not have authority. We went over more still the punch list of the couple items left to do, and we talked about what will be coming to us. And there should be 4 binders, big binders coming to us. We will have to sort through if we're interested in determining a particular landowner issue, but that anything that went beyond a phone call with a landowner will be documented in there. And so I felt at least reassured that what was coming to us would be able for all people who wanted to research it to be able to take a look what actually happened in Storey County. And then there was some clarification on some of what the requirements were from the actual directions of scope of service of the Iowa Utilities Board and how that may have varied from what we heard in the presentation. But I think he covered most of it. So I did want to say thank you to the County Attorney's Office and to ISG for setting that discussion up. It helps bring me up to date about the contract, why ICT was selected, and what sounds like will be coming forward in the future.
Yeah, and well, I really appreciate that, Laura. So let me just, from my perspective, and I want to see if you'd agree with this, so I completely understand any frustration that anyone feels that maybe the county didn't have enough of a say, you know, utilities board didn't hand off enough to us. But for the authority and responsibility that the county, in this case Story County, was given, us utilizing ISG to fulfill that portion has been as much as we could reasonably do given the authority we had. And ISG, in fact, has done a really, really good job of documenting and representing Story County as they're allowed to.
Yes, and it sounded like as Evan talked about this, this was new. There was no already standard right. to follow by, and that ISG has spent months internally taking what the IUB was looking at doing and vetting it over and over, not only with their attorneys, but with the staff who would be out there doing the work and trying and envisioning all of the complications or scenarios that might come up. So, yeah, I think they did what they represented us in the way that we would have been allowed to do ourselves if we had wanted to hire for that many people to go out. But
yeah, I mean, we would have had to have gone and hired 30 or 40 people on a temporary basis
right.
to do it in-house. So,
anyway.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it. Thank
okay.
you.
Party.
Good. Several things. Had the opportunity to attend the Alliant presentation on last Tuesday at Ames Auditorium there at City Hall. Chose to stand up and speak on behalf. I'm a Alliant customer, so I write checks to them every month. They're going to a wireless transmitter on their meters. Something you already see in a number of the communities here in the county. Have it with rural water as far as how they do the readings. I understand people have some questions in regards to the technologies and what the taking of the information, but I think it's pretty tame. That said, I have an email I'll be sharing with you both here in regards to Camp Rhodey, sent it out yesterday to the City of Ames in regards to Grant 5 so that they have more clarity going forward with the City of Ames in regards to the engineering wants and wishes. So that we don't run into a proposal that runs headlong into another proposal that becomes untenable. So it's nice to see what the throw off from this spring's conversations in the long meeting we had here and the subsequent follow-ups is they're trying to be proactive and make it easier for everybody to get to a good outcome.
Good. Let's see, lots of water issues here in Story County, but nothing like what our friends to the south had. But we continue, you can expect more in our role as Grand District Trustees, but you can expect some conversations on Kelly, which is right now a 1/12th drainage coefficient, which for those listening who don't know what that means an inch of rainfall, it takes 12 days for it to drain. So clearly when you get 6 inches, we're talking about a lot of water. We'll have to put on our Grand District Trustees hat and take a look at, there's 3 drainage districts that touch Kelly. We're going to have to take a look at those and see what makes sense. I'm not sure that there's going to be any federal mitigation dollars that come along with that, but we can't have, I'm sure both of you guys drove down to Kelly and took a look. We just can't have that going on. We need to work with the leadership in Kelly to figure out what we can do out there. And then a whole bunch of our gravel roads and bridges took a real beating this last weekend, especially down around Maxwell, and so we're busy compiling all the data on that. There'll be a small group meeting later today just to talk through what possibility for federal assistance there might be in some of those and how we need to stage those projects. If there's anything that rises to the level of any kind of board action, we'll make sure that gets to the board. But it's more just logistical staging to get all that done. With that, I started with Happy Birthday, America. We'll end with Happy Birthday, America. Hope everybody has a great 4th. And I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.